Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Sunday's rain and cooler cloudy weather yesterday allowed crews battling the Shovel Creek wildfire northwest of Fairbanks to make progress. Fire Information Officer Jacob Welsh says the major focus is securing lines to protect populated areas south, east, and north of the 10,000-acre blaze near Murphy Dome.
Improving the fuel break along Old Murphy Dome Road, about a 12-mile stretch that goes past the Perfect Perch subdivision to the McLeod subdivision. There's crews and equipment working on putting a line from McLeod north to the Chattanooga River. And so basically what that will do is create a big box that will prevent fire spread towards our values at risk, which are our homes and other infrastructure up on the hill.
Firefighters also continue to do structure protection work to prepare properties in case the fire jumps lines. Welsh says fire activity is expected to pick up as conditions warm and dry over coming days. A level 3 go evacuation notice remains in effect for 52 homes in the Martin and Perfect Perch subdivisions, while 93 homes in the Lincoln, McLeod, and Murphy subdivisions are at level 2 or set status. The Chattanooga River corridor remains at level 1 or ready evacuation status. Interior lawmakers are hearing from constituents about Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget vetoes.
Overwhelming. Overturn the vetoes, overturn the vetoes, overturn the vetoes.
Fairbanks Area State Representative Grier Hopkins says he received more than 200 emails over the weekend from people concerned about the impacts of the governor's veto of over $400 million from the operating budget. Hopkins, fellow Democratic Representative Adam Wool, and Republicans Bart Laban and Steve Thompson plan to meet with constituents tomorrow night at Pioneer Park to discuss the vetoes. The four interior representatives are part of a bipartisan House majority coalition, which has generally been critical of Dunleavy's budget cuts and the governor's insistence on paying a full permanent fund dividend. Hopkins says he's optimistic members can assemble a three-quarters majority to override the vetoes.
As we work on the capital budget and negotiations and on the $3,000 dividend, we can find that 45-person override.
Hopkins says he believes there's middle ground legislators can settle on
to move forward and protect the economy and give as healthy of a dividend as we can.
Another interior region state representative, District 6 Republican Dave Tallarico of Healy, who is not a member of the bipartisan coalition, is also conducting meetings on the budget vetoes. Tallarico hosted a town hall in Salcha last night and has another tonight in Pleasant Valley. Tallarico did not respond to a request for comment. Jake Almeida, an aide to another Republican, District E State Senator Mike Schauer of Wasilla, says feedback from constituents has been intense.
The emails have certainly blown up. I'm at over 500 emails right now.
Shower's District E includes the unorganized area south of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, along the Parks and Richardson highways, as well as the Matsu Borough. And Almeida says the emails reflect strong support for a $3,000 dividend.
As far as emails on the permanent fund, we've had overwhelming support for a full dividend this year.
He says feedback on the budget vetoes is more mixed.
So we have gotten some phone calls and emails from people that are concerned about the governor's vetoes for Medicaid or the university being the main big ones, obviously, and the senior benefits we've been hearing a lot about as well.
Almeida says Senator Schauer supports paying a full PFD, but has not so far taken an official stance on budget vetoes. The first graduates of a new veterinary medicine program offered through the University of Alaska Fairbanks are on the job, including in Alaska. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, UAF officials say the program is helping meet strong demand for veterinarians.
One of the 10 UAF veterinary medicine students who graduated in May is Liz Millman. She plans to specialize in caring for sled dogs, like those that powered Iditarod musher Didi Jonro. Millman recorded this YouTube clip of her harnessing Jonro's team at the Galena checkpoint during the 2015 Iditarod.
I discovered I wanted to be a vet when I think I was 3 years old. And I think it was when I was 7 when I first learned about sled dogs back in Wisconsin where I grew up that I decided I wanted to be a sled dog vet and work Iditarod.
Millman had just completed undergraduate study in Wisconsin when she came to Alaska in 2013 and got a job with Jonro. She says she loved it up here, but she wanted to continue her education. And at the time, Alaska's universities didn't offer a veterinary medicine program. Then she learned UAF was setting one up through a partnership with Colorado State University.
Shortly after I moved to Alaska, I heard about this program starting and decided I'd try it one more time and apply, and lo and behold, I got in on the first class in 2015.
Karsten Hoofa heads up the program. He's the Associate Dean of Veterinary Medicine at UAF, and he says the university was fortunate to link up with Colorado State.
They are like one of the top programs in the country.
The program requires the 10 UAF students to attend their first 2 years of graduate level instruction at UAF and their second two at Colorado State.
The clinical part, working with actual patients, becomes so important in the third and fourth year of veterinary school.
Hoofa says students must go to Colorado for those 2 years because Alaska just doesn't have the volume and variety of animal patients, especially livestock, that the students need. But he says they and the other 140 students in this year's class get plenty of opportunities for hands-on instruction at Colorado State because agriculture is a big industry in that area.
In the state, we have two, I would say, small pockets of what one would consider like an industry is in Palmer and in Delta. And those are relatively small compared to other states that have veterinary schools. I mean, in Colorado, ranching is huge.
Hoofa says, on the other hand, the UAF students get experience working with animals in Alaska that aren't available in Colorado, like domesticated wildlife species.
For example, the students get opportunities to work with reindeers at the large animal research stations, so they do not only work with cows and other normal livestock.
Hoofa says the UAF Colorado State program has attracted a lot of attention in Alaska, both from those in the ag industry and those who operate veterinary clinics, not only because of the quality of instruction, but also the requirement that students spend their first 2 years in Alaska.
Quite a few clinic owners that I talk to, they sometimes struggle with getting people from outside come up, not knowing what they're getting themselves into, and then minus 40 hits, and they can't get out of here quick enough.
Hoofa says that may be part of the reason why all 10 of the UAF students got jobs soon after they got their diplomas. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.